हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
In page 15, Adhyaya 3, Adhikarna 1, Realizations of Vyasadeva in Trance. Gita says, the perfect Lord is not responsible for the sinful or pious acts of the jiva. But since their knowledge is covered by their hostility to the Lord, the living entities are bewildered by that ignorance and blame the Lord. Bhagavad Gita 5:15. Therefore, the idea is that the jiva is Brahman, in a state of upadis, and that by destroying the upadis there is liberation in Brahman, is refuted. Maya is the agent of bewildering the jiva. The Lord is neutral in this matter, it is said. The ignorant jivas, bewildered by Maya, who is ashamed to stand in the sight of the Lord, boasts about I and mine, Srimad Bhagavatam 2:5:13. Since it is said that Maya is ashamed to stand before the Lord, her action of bewildering the jivas is not pleasing to the Lord. So let alone the jiva thinking that there's something special, that it's the Lord's fault. Right? Yeah. Though she knows this, not tolerating the jiva's beginningless aversion to the Lord in the form of ignorance of the Lord, she covers jiva's sarup and makes him think he is something else. Right? So that's the thing, is she's not tolerating the jiva's aversion to the Lord, right? Because of her devotion to the Lord, she's not tolerating that the jivas themselves are inimical to the Lord. So that's the reason we're here. Inimical means we're not counting Krishna in, right? It's not necessarily an external aggressive thing or hostility, but it's just we're not counting the Lord, right? That's the whole point. Bhayam dvitiya binivesha tasyad ishad ape tasya viparya yosmiti tanmayayato buddha abhaje tam bhaktyai kayesham gurudevate atma. For the jiva averse to the Lord, there will be samsara consisting of identity with body and lack of identity with the soul. Because of his absorption in the material coverings on the soul, arising from the Lord's Maya. Therefore, the intelligent person, taking Guru as his Lord and very self, should fully worship the Lord with pure bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:237. Yeah. So the Mayavadis are saying that this position of the jiva is illusory. But that's the covering is illusion, because they think that they're the I in mind. They think in the way of upadis. But then they're taking this concept of upadis and saying the upadis are false, so therefore the whole concept of the jiva and everything else is false. So they're extending the definition beyond what it's supposed to be. Right? So here then Jiva Goswami has adjusted that. So it's just the jivas themselves having turned away from the Lord by being absorbed in the secondary and not the primary, then Maya covers them, and then they start identifying with those upadis and function within this world. That way they don't bother Krishna. Right? Otherwise, then you see, how you say, you have one demon come into Vrindavan, how much trouble is there? Right? Because they're inimical to Krishna. Right? So that's the whole point, is that that's happening in the Boma Lila. Right? Not in Goloka. Right? So therefore then, those who have that inimical nature you know, maybe not that intense, but, you know, they come here. And then here they engage. Does that make sense?
Can we say that the jivas, usually they're not inimical, but they're indifferent to the world? They just don't.
But it's basically, it's just like this. What happens, okay, let us say you're going along in a conversation and somebody says something that really annoys you. Right? So is it a common thing that then you just won't acknowledge their existence? Quite effective, no? Right, okay. So is that inimical or not? Okay. That's our position. We're just not seeing the Lord. You know, we're coming from that neutral state, so then from there, then we're not seeing the Lord, so that takes us to the negative. So that's why then when we remove the negative, is only by replacing it with the positive. That's why for the jnanis, that they're understanding that the soul, not the body, you know, that the material world, what it is, how to rise beyond it, that there's Brahman, that's only bringing them to the neutral state. But they haven't changed the consciousness of I and mine. You know, I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. Right? Because it's I am practicing this path of jnana, and I am getting effect. And from the result of that, I will enjoy. You understand? It remains. So they haven't, they may have temporarily solved the problem of interacting with the material world, with the external upadis. But they haven't solved the problem of the living entity being in the material world. That's why they don't go out into the spiritual realm. Does that make sense? It means they're on the spiritual platform, they're merged in Brahman. But they've only brought it to a neutral state. Now, if you add bhakti to that, then you're starting from that natural neutral state. Not natural, just original neutral state. And then natural meaning tatasta, that kind of aspect. Then the actual point is the prema. So then from there you add bhakti, now it starts to move forward positive into prema, like you see the four Kumaras or Sukadeva Goswami. They're in that neutral state. They come in contact with bhakti, they move forward. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Even if the jiva is inimical to what Krishna, when sooner or later is going to change to become a devotee, no?
Yes, every living entity in the material world will go back to Godhead. Yes. It's just that how much time they're going to spend here before they do that.
Yes.
That's the.
So in one sense, can we say that Maya is cooperating with the Lord and also with the jiva?
Means cooperating. How it means what the Lord means is that He has this creation made so that the living entities have an opportunity to take up devotional service, right? And so that's cooperating with the Lord. And how do you mean cooperating with the jiva?
It means Maya is helping the jiva to become Krishna conscious.
Yes, by the how you say, by the school of hard knocks.
Yes.
Yeah. She gets out her cricket bat and puts on her, you know, leather boots with its steel toes and the you know, the hop nails on the bottom.
That's quite often this is a way that is working.
Yes, that's the only way it's working. That's the only way it's working. See, because here, one has come into the universe as Brahma. That's the first appearance. So as Brahma, you know how the universe works. You're hearing directly from the Lord. At that point, you can go, this is crazy, I'm out of here. What am I doing here? This is a mistake. But we're still here. So that means we did not figure it out. Therefore, that's your first option. You know? Then basically second is then you have the Pajapatis, then the third is the great sages. And then, because we didn't learn by those things, you know, how you say, hearing, seeing, and experiencing like that, then she gets out the bobber boots and the cricket bat and like that and kicks us around the block until we finally surrender, yes. So we always have to remember that. You know, that's actually the nature of the material world. It's only values that's connecting to Krishna. Like, if I perform activities that are recommended, you know, religious activities, but they're not connected to Krishna, there'll be no benefit for the soul. So actually, they're useless for the soul. Then if I perform that same religious activity to please Krishna, now it becomes useful. Same way as I have the knowledge of the soul, and that, you know, that understanding of liberation, but it's not connected to Krishna, it will again give no benefit to the soul, because it won't be eternal. You know, because of the desire to control and enjoy. So you have to stay within the Mahatattva. So then, but when you connect that to Krishna, then it becomes useful, becomes valuable. Does that make sense? But it's only value of karma and jnana is the connection to Krishna. There is no other value. That's the thing. So that's that. When we have that faith, that's when anarthas go. Right? Why will an anartha stay? Because we're cultivating it.
Yes.
Right? We want the weeds to go. We don't go out and plant, you know, water them and put fertilizer. Right? That's the whole point. Yeah. So, because we have faith that these anarthas will actually make us happy, you know, through the process of I and mine, then that means that steadiness and devotional service doesn't come to that point that they're removed. Does that make sense? But when we have that faith that, no, these aren't important, it's actually devotional service is what makes any gives anything of value. So even their value is only because of devotional service. And even that, devotional service on its own already includes these. I don't have to separately endeavor. Therefore, one has faith just in devotional service. And that position, that will bring one very quick, that will remove the anarthas and bring one to be very stable in Krishna consciousness. Right? And that stableness will give a taste, like this. Right? Because there's not other things. Right? You know, this is what you're doing, so you'll focus on that. That's the whole point, is that when we're focusing on many things, how much taste can you get? But when you focus on one thing, does that make sense? So then that's the whole.
The point is to become aware about that.
Yes, we must become aware. That's why then the scriptures and the acharyas, the instruction is important. That's why then when it was said here, I think it was Krishna. Oh no, that the one we just did. For the jiva averse to the Lord, there will be samsara, consisting of identity with body and lack of identity with the soul, right? So we identify with the body, not with the soul, right? So they identify with the body, that's the karma, not identifying the soul, that's lack of jnana. Now when we identify with the soul, not so with the body, then that becomes the jnana. But until that becomes, I'm servant of the Lord, then it doesn't become bhakti. Right?
But if you have aversion together?
Yeah, that's fine.
Mishrama?
No. It just depends upon where the prominence is. It means Mr. Bhakti means you have all of them, but it's just a matter of what is the prominence? Are you starting with the karma and then adding the jnana and then on to bhakti? Right? Or starting the karma, then to bhakti, then add the karma, like this. Or are we starting with the jnana? I'm not the body, so I serve, but then I need to, you know, do something, and then you add the bhakti. Or do we start with the bhakti, that I'm serving of Krishna, so therefore I should be engaged, body, mind, and words, in the Lord's service. So, therefore, what are appropriate services for the particular body, mind, and words we have, and the situations we find ourselves in? So that's pure bhakti. If we start on the other two, those are mixed. But the point is because it's connected to Krishna, you will advance. But you'll advance at the speed of you are aware, like Prabhu said, of giving up these attachments. The idea is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is recommending that on a daily, ideally on a daily basis, but if not, at least, you know, on a regular basis. So he says, you know, if not, at least every Ekadasi or something. You analyze or are aware of, okay, how was my mentality yesterday? What was my position in Krishna consciousness? How is it today? what can I do today to improve on what it was yesterday? And if we're like that, then we'll seize, because we're making the endeavor, it will move very quickly. See, Krishna is the one who removes the anartas. He gives us that stability, that faith. But the system's designed by His will, by His desire, that we make an endeavor. Even though we can't clear the sins and anartas, Krishna will do it, but we have to make the endeavor that is favorable for clearing that. You know, it's just, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example, is that the father could give all the estate to his immature son because of that affection that he'd like to, but he doesn't. He first trains him, and then, as you know, and that training is very nice. And then once he's trained, now he gives it to him. So that's the same way as he could give the jivas, but then the point is they won't know what to do with it. Right? Just like you see that fisherman. He touched the Lord, so he's manifesting ecstatic symptoms. He's manifesting ecstatic symptoms. He doesn't know what to do with it because there hasn't been training. Right? And that training comes in association with devotees. So.
Tonight, can we say that this awareness, this consciousness is essential in reading, studying?
Yes, reading, studying, and associating. Associating, performing our service.
Yeah.
In any of the angas. That being aware then makes it more, because awareness then means you'll assimilate.
Yes.
As we mentioned, another way we can look at manana is assimilation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they use that term when you're talking about more advanced levels of devotional service. But the principle is because manana, you're just contemplating, should I do or not do? Here it's that you're willing to do, but you're assimilating, so you're able to apply it in your life. You want to apply it. You know, you may not have gotten the taste yet. You know, that will come with practice, with time. Because once that taste is there, then there is no need of intellectual. You know, it's like, let's say there's a food stuff you've never tasted before. And someone says, no, but it's really nice, it's this and that. And, you know, so many reasons why it should be good and you should try it. But for you, it's going, well, I don't know. But if you taste it and you like it, I don't have to convince you anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Because
that,
more.
You want more. And even if someone else comes along, you know, the guys with the placards on both sides, you know, like that, and, you know, the end is nigh and all this, and, you know, whatever you're eating is going to kill you and all that. Even they tell you whatever you're eating is bad for you, you don't care. You like it. You know what I'm saying? You know, for all the, how do you say, modern awareness of food and health and all that, and people, I mean, it's basically anyone you bump into, they're on some kind of a health kind of thing. But at the same time, there are more fast food restaurants than there ever were before, when people were actually not worried about it and therefore unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. Because they call it health fast food.
Really?
Health.
These guys are such success. They're good, no? They're good. They're really good. That is so funny. Like that, yeah. That is so funny. And because it's healthy, they charge more. Yeah, okay. Maya's good.
Because they never ever cooked in home. Then even for the health food, they cannot cook, so they have to purchase that also.
Oh, yeah. You get a monopoly on the health food. Yeah.
Anucheta
Prakashi. In this Anucheta, Jiva Goswami demonstrates how the living entity is distinct from the Lord. It is explained how Vyas saw the factual difference between the Jiva, the Lord, and Maya. The commentary is addressed to the Mayavadi objection that neither the Jiva nor Ishwar are in fact eternal. Right, so for basically for them, nothing exists.
Yes.
So they're just Buddhists, like that. They just quote Upanishads, that's all. You know, like that. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Vyas saw the factual difference between the jiva and the Lord. Because of that difference, the jiva worships the Lord, attains prema for him, and becomes free of maya. That is explained in this section. He saw the innate difference. Eternal qualities of each, such as the servant and the served, the small particle and the complete whole, vibhu, shamshaya and purvapaksha. Right, so here's the doubt that comes up. The Shrutis say the jiva is pure consciousness. Yo vijnane tishtan. The jiva is situated in knowledge. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3.7.22. Vijnanam yagyam tanute. The jiva, knowledge, performs sacrifice. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.5.1. Because the jiva is knowledge itself or pure consciousness, the jiva does not have knowledge as a quality, dharma bhuta jnana, eternally, is pure. By which the jiva can be bewildered and develop material identity. Footnote 6. Jiva is not a knower of objects, it's merely knowing itself. Yeah, and then the fun part is it doesn't exist, so what is even the meaning of this?
They say that, isn't it? They say that it's not a quality of the jiva?
Yeah, because the thing is because then you have qualities, because you're trying to prove the jiva is nothing. You know, the Lord's nothing, everything's nothing.
No, you're also nothing?
Of course, especially their knowledge. That's definitely nothing.
Finally, yeah. Like, all the philosophy go back to, like, matter is ultimate.
Yes.
So that's why they have to come back, some or the other, pull it back, that there are no qualities, there is no independent living entities. So
okay.
Only consciousness, then everybody has the same consciousness and we can prove everything is one.
Okay, so then it's all one consciousness.
Yes.
It's just an illusion that you think you're a separate consciousness. So there's not even knowledge because you're only knowing yourself. It's like a guy standing in front of the mirror. There's no knowledge, but they know themselves. Yes. Yes. Because sattva gives rise to a type of knowledge, Bhagavad Gita 14.17, that shadow of consciousness is present in sattva is the knowledge by which the bewilderment material identity seen by Vyasa develops. Footnote 7. The jiva in pure state is Brahman, and when covered with material sattva becomes the individual jiva, right? That's their idea. So then this little bit of knowledge that's, you know, coming from sattva, being covered by that, then he, in knowledge, thinks he is...
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, he thinks he is, you know, separate, and therefore that's where the illusion starts. The interesting thing is that you have another book that deals with this, is that you had two people hanging out in a garden, and then there's a tree. In this tree, there's a fruit. And then somehow or another, a person in the tree convinces these two people they should eat this fruit. And then having eaten the fruit, then the problem comes up is that now they have knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually why they were given the boot out of the garden. But we can understand is that if God's walking in that garden... Then they have knowledge, they get kicked out. That means there has to be knowledge that's not in line with the absolute truth. So in other words, they become covered by upadis and all that. Now they're unqualified to be there, so then therefore they
leave. That's
not
how they explain it. That's not exactly how they explain it.
Yeah, they don't know that the snake's Kali and you know where the garden is and all that kind of jazz, so... Yes. Bit like Mr. Snow, right? Yes.
Without practicing bhakti, we can understand nothing.
No, you can't. Because the jiva, when he turns from Krishna, he becomes covered by avidya. That's a principle. This, we're not talking about the ignorance of the three modes. We're talking about you have Krishna's jnana shakti, and then that will naturally have the ajnana shakti. So the ajnana shakti only functions within the material world, right? And but the point is wherever you are, if you turn your consciousness away from Krishna, you operate under this ajnana shakti. So even you're in the spiritual world, you're still in ignorance. That's that primordial ignorance. Then one's transferred to the material world, where then the modes of nature, which one of them is ignorance. So it means the goodness, passion, ignorance are all within avidya. So it's only when it's touched by the chit potency, now you can get some transcendental understanding from that same situation. Because if it's all Krishna, then you can see it in line with transcendence. So if it's all Krishna, then the point is you should use it in connection with Krishna. And that means then how to please Krishna. And that we're the soul, we're servant of Krishna, so how can we be involved in showing, connecting that to Krishna for his pleasure? So there's no question of us seeing how we can enjoy this ourselves, or how to see that in context of our upadis. Right? In other words, the situation we see in the context of Krishna, right? Because it's his potencies that make it work. Then, so that's the first aspect. That's what we're talking about there, is the first step. Then the next step is that we're involved, we want to perform service. We have that desire to serve Krishna. Now then the next step becomes that we're able to analyze then the same principle of how Krishna is everything, of the particular nature of the body, mind, and words that we're working with. But the point is, because it's also Krishna, not us. Right? Us is the servant. But the servant means you have to express the service through activity. Right? And that activity means then you're having to use the gross and subtle body. Right? And so then doing that, then the point is the gross and subtle body are also part of the universal form. So this particular arrangement, or the particular combination of the elements in the universal form, how does that function? What is it? How does it work? What does it do? Right? Then seeing practically how that applies into that situation. So therefore, what service I can do for Krishna in this service situation with the facility that I have as my conditioning. So everything's seen from the transcendental platform. So that's the meaning of the Sarva Dharma Paritya Judge, just about serving Krishna. Right? And then Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga is we're not the body, so therefore I can do this, or I identify within the Varnashram system, so therefore I can do this service and things like that. But now, because it's all controlled by Krishna, it's Krishna's world, and we're trying to ultimately get to Krishna, therefore I'll engage that connected to Krishna. So I'm using Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, or as Krishna gives in the Gita, that combination. Right? Explain the fifth chapter. That works very nice. Then as you get purified, then you're able to concentrate on the Lord, so then you can use Jnana Yoga also. So then all these things you're connecting to the Lord. Right? But the other way, you're starting with the Lord, because it all is the Lord, and then you're seeing how you as an individual can serve the Lord in that situation. You know, so that situation includes your body and your mind, your intelligence, your senses, you know, and the facilities there. So it's going to be a combination of your senses, right, controlled by the intelligence and mind, you know, and through the medium of the body, in the physical environment that you're in. And that operation is going to produce a result that you can offer to Krishna. Right? So that means that if you see it's all connected to Krishna, then you work on the transcendental platform. But if you don't, then you work within the realm of upadis. So you're starting with with actual knowledge. So when you're looking at the field, you're seeing it through the jnana shakti, not through the ajnana shakti, right? So on the conditioned state, we see it through the ajnana shakti. And then, because of our association with devotees, then we see as we should connect that to Krishna. Right? And so then we make that endeavor. But we start with the ajnana shakti, then move it to jnana. But the pure devotion means you're starting with the jnana shakti, and that's all you're using. You don't use a jnana. You can say, it's noble, we're engaging the things, but those are all Krishna. It's not separate. Right? We even have to understand is even what we'd call modern or contemporary. The potencies of that and why they can work is still Krishna. Right? Krishna is the car. Krishna is the phone. I mean, without radio waves that are already existing, how can you have the phone? You know what I'm saying? It's already there.
Right? So nothing is new.
Nothing's new. It's just that due to the modes of nature, at different times, different things are revealed, how you can play with this material energy to try to fulfill your, you know, 8,400,000 kind of like categories of, you know, of desire. You know, what, how you can do all that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so these things are already existing. They're already Krishna, that's why they work. We think it's the phone is what makes it work. No, it's already, those other things are there, then the phone is where it can happen. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a bowl, right? And does the bowl make breakfast happen? No, but breakfast is in the bowl. It's happening in the bowl, but the bowl doesn't make breakfast. You understand? So that's the thing. The phone doesn't make it work. It's already working on its own potencies. It just is a situation or facility for that to manifest. But otherwise, it's already there.
So. Like, as the time progresses, people want something very gross. That's why we put so much energy to make everything into a gross thing. All yes. These principles existed before, but in more subtler forms than...
Yes, and they could use them in subtler forms. But now we have to have them in gross forms to appreciate the subtle. Okay, Uttara. The answer is given with, quote, though actually a conscious entity, he identifies with the body because of Maya's influence, end quote. So that's the point. They're just taking, he doesn't exist and all this, so they don't really understand how it works. So mechanics is there only to make you aware. But the point is no, because Maya covers because of her influence. That's why then we identify with the body. Otherwise, why would the soul identify with a gross body? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. Because Brahman cannot become a shadow of consciousness, it is not proper to imagine such a scenario. How does Brahman become a shadow of itself? Right? Because that means then there has to be something else to create the shadow. Right? So they'll say Maya is there. So that means you have the sun, you have an object, and you have the shadow. And it's the sun. So then if there's a shadow, if the soul is a shadow of Brahman, that means Maya has to be the sun. Mm-hmm. And so how is Brahman therefore the superior position? You understand? So that's the thing, is that because of being under the modes, they don't actually think properly. Without the Shastra, you cannot think properly. And as you pointed out before, unless that Shastra is heard from devotees, so it has the chit potency, you will still not understand it.
And chit potency is always with bhakti.
It's only with bhakti. So only the devotees. So actually, only devotees actually understand things as they are. That's why the term "as it is," and that, you know, that's a Upanishadic term like that.
So we term like sometimes Acharya says their arguments are childish because. Though you are controlled, you express yourself as a controller.
Yes.
Like the child.
Yeah, they think they're making everything done. When they figure out they're not the controller, that's when they start crying. and get upset. Right? You know, then they go up and start beating the mom and stuff like that. You know, so because they, you know, it's supposed to go the way they want. So that's what it said before, because of, you know, that ignorance, then you know, everything goes wrong for us because of us, and then we blame Krishna. Right?
So, come on.
Yeah. What to do? Okay. What is this Srup Bhuta Jnana? End quote. Fire, by its nature as a flame, reveals itself and other things. This is explained in the following. Ubhaya vyapare shat tvahi kundalavat. The Lord is both knowledge itself and qualified with knowledge, knowing things. He is knowledge. He knows everything. Right? And yeah. Like a snake and its coils, because scriptures say the Lord is both. That's that Brahma Sutra 3.2.28. Difficulty comes as people want it to be this or that. So only a Chintabhedabheda, even amongst the Vaishnavas, only the Chintabhedabheda Tattva can you understand it to such a fine degree. Right? Because there's a difference between the fineness and logic. Right? The logic may have its very technical point. So we'll generally take anything that's fine or anything that's logic, we'll say it's all just technical. But actually there's a difference. Because that's just the point, that's knowledge of Krishna. It's not that it's technical. Right? It's that due to lack of purification, we don't understand it. Because Krishna doesn't reveal it. Because he is knowledge. So you can only know him if he reveals. Because he's beyond the intellect. But you do have where logic is applied, and very technically. And much of the time, these technical discussions are dealing with fine points. So we generally take that logic and fine points go together. But not necessarily. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you may see that our presentations aren't necessarily as technically presented, but the points are finer. All you see is that Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, and the others, they had to deal with logicians. In other words, all these grammar juggling, you know, Mayavadis and the Karmakandis and all these others. You know, for them, that was a real environment they worked in. So they use logic because that's what they'll appreciate. So because they're devotees, the logic will be better because they understand the subtle points, but they're explaining it through the logic. But it can be also explained very simply without so much technical logic. Does that make sense? Yeah. This will be discussed in detail in Paramatma Sandarbha. Shankara has the idea that liberation for the jiva is destruction of the antakarana. This is refuted since it is said in the text that the jiva is separate from the gunas. Yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute nartam tat kritam chabi padyate. Bewildered by that maya, the jiva, though separate from the three gunas, considers himself made of the three gunas and takes on material existence created by the gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 175. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport the following. The living being is by constitution transcendental to material encagement, but he is now imprisoned by the external energy, and therefore he thinks himself one of the material products. And due to this unholy contact, the pure spiritual entity suffers material miseries under the modes of material nature. The living entity misunderstands himself to be a material product. This means that the present perverted way of thinking, feeling, and willing under material conditions is not natural for him. But he has his normal way of thinking, feeling, and willing. The living being in his original state is not without thinking, feeling, willing, and feeling power. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that the actual knowledge of the conditioned soul is now covered by nescience. Thus, the theory that a living being is absolute impersonal Brahman is refuted herein. This cannot be, because the living entity has his own way of thinking in his original unconditional state also. Srimad Bhagavatam 175 purport. Referring to Srimad Bhagavatam 2.5.13, it is said that Maya is a shame because she bewilders the jivas. Maya is the agent. Brahma speaks that verse. Amuya in the same verse means by Maya. Maya cannot tolerate the jiva's aversion to the Lord. She does her job as a servant in making the jiva suffer for being averse to him. Maya covers the jiva who is overcome by his aversion to the Lord. It is like a lamp covered by a pot being covered by darkness. So you have a lamp, then you put you put the pot, and they're in a dark room. So that's us. So we're in that state of ignorance, and then we're covered by this upadis that we think were the material energy. Like that. So even if you remove that covering of the pot, you're still in a dark room. Right? Does that make sense? Because the problem is because they think they don't exist, then there's no need to uncover the pot. Because the pot and the lamp don't exist. So therefore they stay in the dark room. But only the Vaishnavas know we're not that, we're the servant of Krishna. So when you take off the pot, then the room, you can, the ignorance goes away.
And when we accept that there is some light, then there is the conception that there will be more light, right? Like there is a sunlight also.
Yes. If the sun ray is there, then the sunlight. Yes.
If there is a lamp can produce light, then you can get more light also. Just like that. That has to be accepted.
Yes.
That's what he proves next week.
That's the next one. Okay. Anucheda 33. The Lord does not interfere with the skillful actions of Maya, the controller of the material world, who has been his devotee without beginning. Right? So Maya has always been a devotee. Maya has never been in Maya. That's the main point. Right? Desiring that the jivas become favorable to him out of fear of Maya, the Lord teaches. Daivi hiesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. By Maya, made of the gunas, fit for the jiva's pleasure, is hard to surpass. But those who surrender to me alone can cross over this Maya. Is that you mentioned this morning? Maybe before, is that because it's out of fear? So that's the thing, is Maya creates that, so then we turn surrender to the Lord. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hridkarna rasayana kata tajoshanad ashva pavarga vartmani shadharatir bhaktir anukramishyati. From association with the best devotees, topics of my glorious pastimes become directly realized. Bringing devotees to nishta, right? So by that association, then one becomes directly, one comes to nishta, right? So that means one's steady, you know, one by that association you gain that faith. That faith removes the anarthas, that removal of anarthas brings us to steadiness, to faith. Mm. Right? Then the topics become an elixir for the heart and ears at the stage of ruchi. Mm. So before that, these first stages are just, you're trying to, the shraddha is trying to bring you to the stage of nishta.
Yes.
Right? So we have that faith. Somehow or another is there by the grace of the Lord, through the devotees, through scripture, through performance of activities, whatever way that we're gaining this faith. Then, as we mentioned, that's coming by the Lord's grace. It may be coming through the devotees, but still by the Lord's grace. By the grace of Krishna, one gets guru. By the grace of guru, one gets Krishna. So you can, when you say the stages, you say you have the nine levels, but actually advancing is starting, you have Shraddha, because that's come by the Lord's grace. Now what do you do with it? So now when you take it as important, you take up the association of devotees. That taking up the association, or another sadhu sangha, that's the first step. That's the first stage. Right? And then being in that association, you start to practice. And then practicing, then you you'll get rid of the anarthas. But all that's happening there is the faith is growing. So when the faith is grown, that bhakti is the only thing. You don't require anything material. Then the anarthas go, because all you need is bhakti. As long as you think you need the anarthas, they'll stay. Right? You know, how you say, they're very kind. You know, so it's like, they don't just immediately run off, but, you know, they just check to make sure. You know, you're sure like that? From that?
Also, from this we can understand, like, many devotees, they initially come, they read some Prabhupada books and all. After that, they don't feel a need, like, okay, now we have to act. And
yes,
like,
yeah.
But just, here it's like at three levels, both Sambandha, then Abhidhaya, and at the Prayochan level also.
Yes. Yeah, that's why you see is that in one sense, if you're taking the broader sense, then you're taking anybody who has that little bit of faith as devotees. So that will even catch, you know, the whole wide range of, like, the whole Hindu scene. Mm-hmm. Because in that way, they have faith in it, but they also have faith in everything else also. That's the difficulty. But it's not that they're inimical to bhakti. It's just that bhakti and worship the demigods and the little Mayavad and the little this and that, and, you know, does that make sense, you know?
And working on company.
Huh?
And working on company.
Yeah, and also making plenty of money, and Amita Bachchan, and, you know, it's all there. It's all happening.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so then you say that's good, because then when they take that first step that they want to be serious, then they try to associate with devotees. That's when you know. Because otherwise you give the opportunity, but it's like, let's say you do program, and there's 30 people there, but you might find only a few come forward. Or a few come forward, ask questions and all that. Yeah. But then when you discuss about the temple program, who shows up there? Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's the one that then took that set, that made that first step. Mm-hmm. Right? The others are doing because it's a religious process and it's recommended and it's a nice thing. And then from doing that, then because it's in the association of devotees, then they got some faith. So they like coming, but they haven't gone to that first stage. So here is that we see is those first group, then is to bring you to nishta. Then you can say is now that part is done. Now you're in fixed in devotional state. Because before that's anishta bhakti. But now it becomes nishta bhakti. Then the tops have come, because before that you're doing because that's the process. It's nice, but it's the process. Now it becomes an elixir for the heart and ears at the stage of Rushi. Now it's like you really like it. Before it's like it's nice. But now you really like it. So, yeah.
Which means we cannot live without it?
Basically, we quite appreciate it. I mean, as it advances, means attachment, that would be more asakti. Yes. But ruchi means we find this is good, this is nice, we like this, we like to be involved in this. You know, because otherwise you could be involved with so many other things. But you're not, because you've have that faith that other things aren't going to give any taste. So the point is it becomes exclusive on Krishna. Mm-hmm. The exclusivity may not be as focused as it requires, but it means of all the ways to be happy, devotional service is the process. Mm-hmm. And so because of that being focused, then you get a taste. You can't get a taste if there's so many things. Yeah. By taste for these topics, ashakti, bhava, and then prema for the Lord, who is the destroyer of material life, quickly develop in sequence. Right? So the slow part is getting to nishta.
Yes.
Well, actually, the slow part is getting to faith. That's yes. taken since time immemorial.
Yes.
Then getting to that, then we see it's, you know, some years you get to nishta, and then from there it goes much more quickly. Yes. So once one gets to that point, yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25.
Can we say, because we have to set association with a bank devotee?
Yes.
So can we say by associating with Srila Prabhupada, we can have some taste quite quickly, actually, in one sense?
Yeah, well, you see, it's those devotees that were always around Prabhupada, they have a very strong taste there.
Yes.
They may or may not appreciate the Vedic literature or Varna Ashram or all these other kind of technical aspects of the philosophy, but they're completely absorbed in Prabhupada. Yes.
And can we serve somehow by, even if we have not met Srila Prabhupada, especially in the early days, by associating with his books, his instruction,
yeah,
we can
it's
have
the
same
it's
thing.
Exactly the same. Because now you'll take it for that. They might just see me, they like him as a person, mm-hmm. which is very important. It has a spontaneous aspect. But then, in applying it in their life, if they're not feeling that spontaneous absorption, then the philosophy and the practices are always valuable. But that might not be seen. But here is when one's reading, one's going to be looking at Prabhupada's. In other words, one, even though Prabhupada is the Adi Guru, sees the main Siksha Guru, that those who are personally have that association may only kind of see him as a Diksha Guru and not actually have that maturity of appreciating the Siksha. Well, anyone after, then they're only seeing Prabhupada as a Siksha Guru, so they'll have a tendency to take the instructions more seriously. You know, they don't have that other thing. But the point is anybody can take advantage of that. Yes.
Prahlad Maharaj, when he is teaching to his demonic friends, he tells, "I had faith in the words of Narada Muni, so I understood the transcendental knowledge. I could see that what is happening, what he told, what is happening." So he is telling that, please have faith in my words, then you will also be able to understand transcendental.
So it's about the words. So if you have faith in the words, then it will work. Like that. It will be dynamic. So that's the whole point. But the best devotees means those who are absorbed in that. Means the founder acharya is always there, the Adi Guru, but then you also have the other, you know, senior devotees and the preachers. You know, anybody who's like sincere and trying to practice Krishna conscious, that's the best devotees. Because otherwise, if you're just taking generic devotees, it's like what we mentioned before. There's some faith, but they don't necessarily make that attempt. So in other words, those with faith that are making that attempt, you know, like that, that's the one to associate with. The ones that have too many doubts, you know, you deal nicely and properly according to the etiquette, but you might not put in that time of association. But in other words, someone who's just finding fault, you don't associate with them. Like that. But someone who's, you know, enthusiastic to do the service, even if they're, you know, quite new in Krishna consciousness, that's what we mean here by best. Okay. The Lord, as Acharya, later teaches this particularly through the form of Vyasa, a Leela avatar. Vyasa sa bhakti, which destroys Maya. Anartas anarto pashamam. Right? So, when you have that bhakti or that faith, then that's what destroys the anartas, not ourselves. So this whole thing is that, oh, someone's done something wrong, so therefore there's an external activity they have to do to destroy the reaction of that. It's never going to work. It's bhakti that will destroy them. Because we're not just interested in getting rid of the reaction. We're interested in getting rid of the seeds. And only bhakti can do that. Does that make sense? The seeds are there. If someone's sense controlled, they may ignore the seeds, though their seeds are sitting there. And so the kutaj doesn't happen. So nothing sprouts by the control of the sense, like these big great sages and saints, these jnanis. They're controlling the senses, so the kutaj doesn't happen. And they're tolerant of the other aspects, the phulan mukha and the, what's the last one? Prarabdha, that have manifested. Right? Or about to, like this. But they can't get rid of the seeds. They don't have a process. They can only control the senses. So the great yogis and all these jnanis, they can control the senses, or even a very pious karmi, they'll control the senses. Right, so they don't, but still this desire to control and enjoy as it remains. But only bhakti is the one that can remove these seeds. They have no effect. So it's not that you're absorbed in Krishna, therefore you don't notice Maya. The other one is you can see Maya, but you don't pay attention. You can see, but you don't act. But this is, you don't see, so where is the question of acting? Yes.
In understanding and applying this aspect, many times many devotees have a kind of misnomer that till the time, only when you become a pure devotee perfectly act, when you are in conditioned state, we have to just follow the normal process as
what is normal mean?
I mean because you have desires, you have to act upon it.
You have to act upon the desires.
Yeah. It's like
okay.
just
and then
like
how far will they take this? What's the context of their philosophy?
It's mainly because following the principles of Brahmacharya and all or not.
Okay, no, that's fine. But let's just take that because there's a weakness in that. Mm. But where do they draw the line there?
That's
you know, because if it's just a matter of there's the feelings and you act, so then they're having their group program that they're all having together. And so all the grihasthas are together with their family, right? And in that, you know, there's interaction between the men and women and all that, right? And so then if somehow or another some interest comes up, you just act. Because it's just natural. We're just, you know, just the natural feelings that are coming up, we're just acting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they'll say, no, no, but then that's unnatural. Like that. They're following... There, the people that are saying that are following the Westerners, and Westerners do that. So then, you know, why are they restricting themselves is unnatural. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is they and their modes, they will say anything above their position is fanatic, and anything below is nonsense. So wherever you are, you're going to say that. So only if you're looking at it from pure bhakti. And how do they define pure bhakti? Right? If you take pure bhakti and put it far enough away, then we're here when we have to be practical. So that's the whole point. So, in other words, they're using a principle of it's removing Krishna from the thing. It's an impersonal thing, but they're doing it through the medium of karma. Right? The Mayavadis do it through the medium of jnana. Because the point is if Krishna's not involved, then it's up to me to choose what's the right thing to do. Right? Because if you put God far enough away, He's not control. We have to do the practical work.
Yes.
So it's the same disease. That's why this Nirvisay Shunyavad works for anybody who's not in pure devotion. Right? It's, you know, all like it. Just like the Mayavadi philosophy encompasses all philosophies other than the Vaishnavism. I mean, all of them. They all fit in there in some capacity. So that's why we can just say there's devotees and there's Mayavadis. And we don't have to deal, like, if we deal with the Mayavadis, we've technically already dealt with everybody else. Does that make sense? So that's all it is here, because it'll just be according to their thing. Right? You know, they want to eat five times a day. That's because in their family, they eat five times a day. But if you tell them, well, according to Ayurveda, actually you should eat six times. Oh, we're not fanatic. You know? Oh, yeah, but we found, you know, four times is better. Yeah, but that's not practical. You know? You understand? So it's just, that's just, that means you're engaging, you're conditioning in the Lord's service. That's all right. But in doing so, you are trying to maintain the mundane prestige. It will simply slow down your bhakti because the prestige will get in the way. Well, if you don't see it, if you just take it, well, I'm just attached to this, and at this present, I'm functioning best in this, so I'm going to go with this, but I understand that, you know, it's about pleasing Krishna, not about my conditioning. And so then, you know, I'm going to engage in Krishna service, but then you're being honest about it. And so it's not a matter of prestige, it's just a matter of, it is practical. But they're trying to make practicality as a superior position than the philosophy and practices and all that. In other words, how I see the world as practical, that's actual, the real bhakti. So in other words, that's pure bhakti. You know? And other things, that's impractical, that's theoretical. So this is the real dynamic bhakti. But the difficulty is the pride in that will slow them down. That the principle that you're connecting your position to Krishna, that's not what's going to slow things down. That someone's a grihastha, they're attached, they have facility, they have money, they have, you know, all this and that. That's not going to slow them down. If they connected to Krishna, what's going to slow them down is the pride, because that's ignorance. Pride is ignorance. Then you're identifying with them. That's why we bring it up constantly again and again about these taking these upadis. Because this is a more pious form of how do you say, the upadi that we're talking about. You know, in other words, Prabhupada says Bengal is east, the farther west you go, the more degraded it becomes. Right? Does that make sense? So you take within the piety and you go to the western side and they start saying this. Then you take India and the world, you start going to the western side and they have other things to say. You understand? So it's just a matter of due to the anarthas and then identifying with them. See, having anarthas is not the problem. But we take it that having anarthas is not good, which is not, but because I'm the best, therefore I don't have any anarthas. And since I do have anarthas, I have to prove how having these anarthas, it's not bad. In fact, it's actually better. Right? The grihasthas and all that, they're engaging so many things in Krishna service. What do the brahmacharis have? They're just engaging a few things, you know, so how so much more service is being done by the grihastha. No, it's because you have attachment to those things. You're just engaging. He has less attachment. He engages that in the Krishna service. Because then we're saying that, you know, we're carrying mountains, so we're better devotees than, you know, these spiders and squirrels that are just kicking dust.
And the most funny part is, after they go there and it doesn't work, then they come up with this philosophy that, karma. Everything is bound by our karma. You cannot surpass your karma.
Yeah, yeah. So then it means, in other words, as long as I think I'm on top of it, there's free will. But as soon as it's not, then it's not my fault. It's predestiny. So therefore, in an indirect way, they're blaming Krishna.
Yes.
You know, Krishna may like this. I have this bad karma, so you know I can't move forward and all that. So if Krishna then removes this, then but he'll only remove it if you have faith in bhakti. As long as you have faith in that karma, that if that karma was good, then devotion would go nicely. But the karma is bad, then devotion can't go nicely. You have to have faith that no, bhakti on its own without karma or jnana works nicely. Like that. So it's natural steps. It's just a matter of whether it's happening within the realm of karma, akarma, or vikarma. Right? That's all.
And what we are discussing now is that actual dynamic principles which help us to discern and go beyond.
Yes, yes. So the point is it doesn't change your situation. Like in that Hare Krishna address, Prabhupada's reading, he says, you don't have to change your position. It's not an imposition upon the mind, Krishna consciousness. It's just a matter of you have to change the consciousness, and you're changing to what's the natural consciousness of the soul. Right? In other words, being conscious of Krishna, that's the natural position. What we've taken up with the upadis, that's not natural. But now engaging it, because it's all Krishna's energy, we can engage it in Krishna's service. It all works on the same Krishna's formulas. So if we understand that, then we can connect them to Krishna. We just have to actually appreciate how it works. Does that make sense? Like that. Because one may say, oh, it's too technical, bhakti, you know, can we keep it simple? Fine. And your business? Are you selling pawn? You know, I mean, you yourself making them, sitting in that, you know, you're sitting in the upper half, because, you know, you're doing good. You're a good businessman. You're sitting in the upper half, and the guy down below, he's the, you know, the one that's not so good. He's paying rent to you, right? You know? You know, so like that is that what we're doing, or that their business as sophisticated as possible? They're up to date with the latest things happening in the MBA. They know what's going on, and you know they're keeping news. They're reading the Financial Times. They're doing all this stuff. You know, but why aren't we doing that in Krishna consciousness? So we're not making that endeavor, so we won't move forward there. But they're making a devil in the other, so their business is moving forward. You know? But now you want to connect the other one, will make it so you know how to connect it to Krishna. Because it's being seen as two different things. So it's separate from Krishna. That's the hostility. This material world is separate from Krishna, and therefore I'm being practical and just working with it, you know, just as I should. But it's Krishna's. So we can't separately work with it. We can. We've been doing that, but it hasn't worked out. Is that good? Yes.
Maharaj, can you say that mixed bhakti is sometimes we are doing for Krishna and sometimes for style?
Yes, for style. So, in other words, when we're doing it for Krishna, we call it karma yoga, jnana yoga, and we say it's bhakti. But when it's about ourselves, and that, and so, in other words, when you means... the mixed devotional service means you're taking anartas that are there and trying to connect them to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's about connecting it to Krishna, then it's called karma yoga, jnana yoga, or buddhi yoga.
Mm-hmm.
When it's about ourselves and we're creating our own obstacles here, mm-hmm. then it's called karma misra, jnana misra,
mm-hmm.
aropya bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, the negative mm-hmm. terms are used to point out the weakness that's holding us back. And the connection to Krishna and using Krishna's service, that's the positive, then it uses karma yoga, jnana yoga. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's why you'll see the same position will be explained sometimes in a favorable way and sometimes in a negative. And sometimes even in the same sentence or paragraph, it'll do both. You know, like that. The Lord, as Acharya, later teaches this particularly through his form of Vyasa and Lila Avatar, right? Teaching that about devotional service, having that faith associated with devotees and coming from Shraddha to Prema. The Lord, as Acharya, later teaches this particularly through the form of his form of Vyasa, a Lila Avatar. Vyasa saw bhakti which destroys Maya. Anartas anarto pashamam. Thus, there are coordinated functions of the Maya and the Lord concerning bewilderment of the jiva and desiring to make the jiva favorable. Right? So it's coordination. Maya takes care of that one, but the Lord is as Vyasa, and that is trying to come and bring them up. So, because they're inimical to the Lord, Maya covers them and keeps them busy. Right? And gives them trouble so that they start to doubt why I'm here. Right? But the Lord, as through his form as Vyasa, and through the you know, as the Acharya, and like that, then he's from that side then trying to bring it up. So then in this way the two are coordinated functions. You take shelter of the Acharya in that line, then Maya doesn't affect you. If you don't, then Maya will. So, you know, it works out nicely. You know, there's no gap. Maya, quote, Maya is a Shakti, and a Shakti has ability to act. Shakti is merely a quality. Why then does Maya have the particular quality being ashamed if she is just an insentient Shakti? End quote. Scriptures describe that they are controlling deities of these Shaktis. One should see the discussion between Indra and Maya, who is personified as a person in Kenu Upanishad. Now let us return to the topic. Right? You know, in other words, enough of these, you know, side, you know, these doubts. Well, if it's just a Shakti, and Shakti has that, and Shakti is just a quality, then why are you saying about, you know, this thing, and she's ashamed, and all this and that, and because she just sees that quality of that, you know, what she does, you know, why would she have these feelings and all that? And it's just, no, but there's people who run these things.
Yeah.
And they're empowered with those potencies and all that, or you know, like that. So, or they're the personification in the case of these.
Yeah.
So, you know, now that we've, you know, gotten around these distractions, so let us move forward. Yes.
Generally, in the academic world, if your doubt is not exactly in, like, not progressing in how the topic moves, they call it as a silly doubt.
A silly doubt. Okay. Yeah, because it's a doubt, but it doesn't really have
substance.
It's not relevant for the discussion. It's relevant for something else. So even though in another discussion it might be not a silly doubt, but in this discussion it is. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana. Why does the Lord tolerate this bewilderment of the jiva? End quote. This is answered in the first sentence. Thus, there is no defect in the Lord's quality of mercy. He desires that the jiva becomes favorable to him. Out of fear of Maya, he desires that the jiva is turned towards him. In this way, there is no injury to his mercy by having Maya give them suffering. The verse from the Gita indicates surrender to the Lord. He also teaches that the cause of becoming favorable is association with devotees, right? That's the cause of becoming favorable. So basically you can say is what is the difference before is because we didn't show that interest. The opportunity is there. We didn't take advantage of, we didn't bring it to a positive aspect, right? Because the point is we're in that neutral state as a jiva. We're within the spiritual world with the spiritual form, but we still have to make the step. of showing some interest. Yes. And if we do, then Krishna arranged that we get the association of the eternal associates, the Nityasiddhas.
Yes.
So, by the devotee. Then that will bring about that favorable developing to prema.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So, that hasn't happened. So then we just, one just moves, you know, stays within that scenario, or however long that pastime goes. And then one comes to the material world. And so one just goes about the daily duties, right? Because Nandan Baba is running a kingdom, Mother Yashoda is running the house, the cowherd men are taking care of the cows, you know, different things are going on. So, but they're seeing all this in relationship to Krishna. Right? But now you see is that you have those that aren't interested in Krishna, so they're just doing the same thing that all the other residents of the spiritual world are doing, just they're not doing it connected to Krishna. Right? So, they're technically in the material world. Because Tathasta Shakti means where the material and spiritual are both in the same place at the same time. So you're just living in the material half part of it, not in the spiritual part of it. Though one has a spiritual body and all that, made a, you know, Satchitananda. But because you're not using it for Krishna, it takes on the qualities of being material. The effect, the experience is going to be material. So then, because the spiritual body isn't so ideal for that, you know, because of the chit and the nanda and sat and all that, therefore then you get a body made of the three modes of nature. Now that works really nicely for being in ignorance. Right? So, the association of devotees, that's what makes it move forward. Because it's the same point. From the neutral stage to prema, it's association of devotees. So it's the same thing. From our negative state to bring it to the neutral, to bring it to the positive, it's still going to be association of devotees. There isn't another process. So when we're sincere about that, then Krishna gives us that opportunity. Right? So that's why when we get the faith from the association, then the first thing we have to do is take shelter of that association. Right? By association with that faith, but now, having that faith, we take shelter of the devotees so that we can move forward in Krishna consciousness. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Know the Lord by surrender, questioning, and service. The seers of truth, the jnanis, will teach you this knowledge. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. So here the jnanis mean one, those who know Krishna. Right? So, know the Lord by surrender. Right? So the pranipata means that interest and all that. That's the surrender. Why else will you surrender unless there's an interest? Right? Then there's questioning and service. So we see is that questioning is there, but that surrender is going to result in service. So that's the whole point, that surrender, that aspect, the simulation means you have that surrender and you apply it.
Yes.
Right? And then that's going to generate further questions. Like how to apply, what's the best way to surrender, what's the best way to engage and serve and all that. So in the association of devotees, then one asks. So then the pranipata. No, it means pariprashna. Yeah?
Yes.
So it's
a very active process.
It's an active process. That's why Prabhupada always points out the armchair speculators. They can't understand this. Because they think, just by my intelligence, I'll sit here in my chair and understand everything. But you won't.
Okay. It is why you need to always be enthusiastic or active in that understanding.
Yes, yes.
Because if you want to stop for like holiday,
it goes. So it's just, you know, unless it's just like, let's say we have a person, all he does is study. Right? He's never met academics. He just has, there's a library, somehow or another his grandfather had a library, and he reads, and he has a lot of knowledge, and he appreciates. But, will he become an academic? Will he become a teacher? Will he become, you understand? No, it's only by the association of academics, then he sees what you can do with this knowledge, how you can, you know, teach, how you can spread, and how you create that, you understand? So it's only through that association he gets that. You know, if you have one kid on his own, alone, you know, on a beach and all that, and he figures out that, you know, if you do this, you'll get more of this, then, but the point, what'll he do with it? It's only because there's others that you do. Right? So it's in the association of business that you become. You know, it's just, does that make sense? So in the association of those who are doing what you have an interest in, that's where you progress. And it's by that association you got an interest in the first place. Vyas teaches this as a Lila avatar in the form of an acharya. There is thus a consistency in Maya causing bewilderment and the Lord desiring that the jiva be favorable. So Maya is always causing the bewilderment and the Lord is always creating situations to be favorable. And that's the point of the Tathasta. We have that choice. So we can say, but why does he do that? That's our nature. To either take one side or the other. And so now it is this, we can say as, if it's not fair, why did we had the spiritual realm and all that, and you know, in the background, Maya, there's a secondary, that we took the secondary. So now why are we complaining that it's all, the secondary is the prominent and then the other is more hidden? You know, and Vyasa is trying to bring it out, the Lord's trying to bring it out, but, does that make sense? So we've already made the choice and then we're complaining. You know, it's just like you go to the restaurant, you always buy the same thing, you know, because it's good. The restaurant's known for this and this and that. Then one of the friends says, you know, hey, why do we always eat the same? Why don't we try with something else? And, I don't know, I like this, you know. So then they order something on the menu and it's bad, right? And then there's a chance that they'll turn to you, why didn't you tell me? You know, it's like that, you know, why do you let me buy that? So, I always buy this. What are you talking about? You wanted to buy, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that's the living entity. It's always someone else's fault. So that's the point when the devotees are saying, it's just saying, it's that that's the position. I'm fallen. So that's different from the position, oh, I'm fallen in this, and where we're falling into ignorance and can't function because we think, because I've done this, I am in ignorance. No, because I've neglected the Lord, I've fallen into ignorance by the Lord's potencies. So therefore, I'm in that situation, now remembering the Lord, I'll get out. The other one is, no, I've done this, and so unless I do something else, I can't get out. And I'm not in a strong enough position, therefore I can't get out, what can I do? You know, the other one is I'm in this position, but all you have to do is remember the Lord, and I'm out. That's the difference in the prayers of the acharyas. That's why then that devotee is saying, I'm the most fallen, brother. You're not the most fallen anything. You know, because we think, I'm doing this. I am the most fallen. I have created my most fallen position. Well, here we can see it's just we were, you know, didn't pay attention to act on our nature, so Maya covers us. But if we remember the Lord, that covering's gone. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.